Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
I am always grateful for the kind words that I hear from all of you when I preach, especially when the topics are spicy. When I get called to pray and I feel this push and this pull by the Holy Spirit to preach about something that I don't know if everyone's ready to hear, you guys do a great job of encouraging me and reminding me that I'm called to do something really great, which is to preach the good news. Last week, I got to talk about money, which if you want to, this is a special hack. If you want to get a lot of visitors to come to your church, plan to preach about money. Because a lot of first-time visitors love to come. They have this sixth sense of like, I want to really know who this person is. And so I'm going to hear them talk about money, and that'll be just great. It used to make me feel so uncertain, so uncomfortable to talk about money in church because, you know, people don't like hearing talk about money in church because it makes them uncomfortable, because a lot of pastors see generosity is an opportunity for them to get brand new shoes or maybe another yacht to add to the fleet. I'm very happy with my 2010 Honda Civic, not to brag or anything. And so I'm glad that I get to preach about money in the right way. And you guys, you encourage me so much, and I'm so grateful for that. But that really, not only is it nice for me, but it also tells me a little bit about your character. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. And so if this is your first Sunday, this is a great Sunday for you to come and visit because I'm going to be talking about who we are as a people. And the only reason why someone gets up early on a Sunday and drives past restaurants that offer bottomless mimosas and eggs Benedict at $18 a plate is and comes to a warehouse that looks like you could buy a used ATV out of it looking for the gospel of Jesus Christ is because you want to be a part of a community that makes a difference. The only reason why you would come here on a Sunday morning is because you are looking for a group of people that you can say, I am a part of that. And friends, I get to tell you today the story of a church that is not focused on what it can get, but what it can give. That is not looking to be placated and, you know, have soft, sweet words given to them, but rather has a purpose and a power. As we finish our journey talking about generosity, I'm excited to call all of us to action as we turn in our pledge cards as a church community. The LeBlanc family pledge card is in this plate here, or there, I don't know. I had someone else put all the pledge cards we got from Chapel Campus in for us, but I'm putting my pledge card in there today. If you don't have a pledge card, there are stacks of them in the back at the Welcome Center. Feel free to go and get one. You should have also received one in a letter. If you didn't get one in a letter, but you can fill that out at the end of worship today. You're going to have an opportunity to respond by putting your pledge card in the offering. Not in the offering plate, but rather these plates here up front. So you can make your pledge card while I'm yammering on about God's great love for all of us, okay? So our passage today comes from Mark chapter 12. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 12, or you can follow along on the screen, or you can Google it. Here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where the reader of God's word will say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, and then all of you will say, thanks be to God. But we wanted to add a little extra oomph to it, and so we like to add the word woo at the end. So be ready for that. Hear the word of the Lord from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward to put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo-hoo. Very good. So in this passage, the Gospel of Mark paints a picture of a Jesus that I really adore. You know, I like all four of the Gospels. It's kind of like picking your favorite kid. You're not I have one kid, so I could say I have a favorite. But for some of you who have multiples, you're not supposed to say which one's your favorite. And Mark is one of my top four favorite Gospels. Yeah, that is a good joke. You're right. There's only four Gospels. But Mark is really great because the picture of Jesus that we have is a very human Jesus, a very dirt under the fingernail, splinter in his hand because he was a carpenter sort of Jesus. A Jesus that's on the move, constantly walking around. A Jesus that has worries and concerns about money and how the world around them works. A Jesus that's a lot like all of us. Now, don't get me wrong, Jesus is still the Son of God, does miracles and points towards a greater message, not something so human that not still divine, but I like the Gospel of Mark Jesus because I think that Jesus maybe wore overalls or at least knew how to dig a ditch, and I like that Jesus. But this Jesus in this passage is sat where the collection is taken at the temple. Now, with a keen eye, you can read the passage and realize he needs to call his disciples over to him. So Jesus is really, he's sat by himself by the collection box of the temple. This was not a cool place to hang out. This was not the common seating area. In fact, a helpful trick when you're reading the Gospels is anytime that Jesus calls someone to him, that meant Jesus was by himself. Jesus was not in a place where other people wanted to hang out with him because, frankly, the Greek word for sitting by the temple collection box, the Greek word is weird. It's like, it's weird to do that. Like, you're out of place. Like, why are you doing that? It's not Greek. That's the joke. It's weird to be there. So you had to call the disciples to come and stand with them. And they're like, me over there where no one else is, Jesus, where everyone's giving you weird looks. Sure, I'll come over to you, my Lord. And Jesus is sat there. You know, we as a church, we have a drop box here at the church. It's a safe where our tithes and offerings go to before we make the deposit into the bank. And if I walked back there and I saw a group of you there, I'd invite you to leave. Like, don't hang out here. Like, I don't think you're trying to hack into the matrix and get into the box, but like, still, like, that's weird. But Jesus is there. Jesus, when we read the scripture, we learn Jesus really does care what we do with our money. You know, the church makes our faith about so many things that are so important. Showing up and being a part of a worshiping community, serving that worshiping community, being kind to people when it's really difficult. I was pretty late to Oaks Campus today. And it was because we had a baptism at Chapel Campus, which, by the way, we had a baptism at Chapel Campus. Can we give up for that? It was really fun. I found that we don't know where the baptismal font is, and so I used a punch bowl. Don't worry about it. No one knew. Did you know it was a punch bowl, Michelle? All right, cool. One person knew. Anyways, and so I was a little late, but I was also a little late because I guess I happened into a parade route because the person in front of me was going 25 on Shepherd Road. And I was like, okay, Michael, lay on the horn and speed past them. And then I thought the Lord spoke to me and said, what if that person is going to church? And, you know, and like they see the car in the parking lot and they were from out of state too. So that would have been really, really bad. So instead I just enjoyed the space around me as I moved very slowly down Shepherd Road. And that's a part of my Christian faith too, is not doing the base desires. But our Christian faith is also how we give matters to God. Like how we give matters to God. And notice what I said there. I didn't say what we give matters to God, although that is something that matters to God too. It is the how. Friends, open your Bibles back up. Go to verse 41. Jesus sat across the collection box from the temple treasury and observed what? How the crowd gave their money. Everyone say how. Jesus cared how people gave their money, their posture, their heart. Now, it doesn't say Jesus set up a table with tax software and asked for everyone's 1099 to see and make sure everyone gave a full tithe, a 10%. He wasn't checking anyone's purses, asking, where'd you get that watch? And is that tax deductible? Is that a business expense? Or, you know, did you itemize today or this year? Instead, Jesus is looking, standing on his own and observing the how. The thing that I want us to leave with today, the thing I hope you hear enough that it sticks in your heart and your head is this: let us steward the generosity. Let us steward the generosity. We talked about stewardship this whole season. This churchy word that I blew the dust off and handed to you, it's our ability as a church family to take something that we did not create, something that was given to us, and make something beautiful out of it. Like stewards of kings gone by, we get to take something that is not ours and make something beautiful out of it. Friends, today I hope you hear that the generosity that all of you have, that I have, that my family has, it's not even something that we make. It's something that's given to us by God. And so let us steward the generosity together. In the Gospels, it is always about the how. Jesus was not observing the amount. He was there to observe the how behind it, the heart, the reason, the heartbeat even. Which makes me think of this distinction that I think is really important for the life of the church that I want to share with you today. The first is the idea of membership. Membership is a thing that you hear me talk about a lot. That's another churchy term I blew the dust off of and handed to you. Many of you have come to a new members class. We call it First Steps class because membership seems a bit strange. And I'll admit, I don't know how much I'm going to keep using the word membership because of what I'm going to share with you today. Because membership, when you think about membership, maybe you think about the local country club. I'm lucky enough, by God's grace, I've been able to serve the church my whole career. I've never had a real job. I've only ever worked in churches and in youth ministry specifically. And there were some churches that I got to serve that they needed to change their signs from First United Methodist Church to First United Methodist Country Club of, and then I almost said the city name, but I didn't. I'm not going to do that because lovely people, but they felt this sense of membership. Walking in, wondering, what will the staff be providing us today? How will the sermon feed me? How will the music make my heart sing? How will the missions team help me go out and serve so that I can feel better about my life? How can this help me? That is what membership requires. Membership requires a membership fee that you pay and you receive things for it. But instead of membership, I wonder what would it look like for us to view ourselves as owners of the church? What would it look like if we had ownership of the church? Being in this space as a pastor, I get to talk to small business owners sometimes. Maybe they're vendors at our fall or spring fest, or maybe it's just because a big part of my job is talking to strangers. So I'll go to a coffee shop and talk to the people that own the coffee shop, whatever. And the thing about people that own businesses, own institutions, that are owners, they know that what they give because of what is required of them. A membership fee is something you pay so you can receive. An ownership payment is something that you put into because you see that it's something that belongs to you. I don't know if you know this, but I really believe that this church is filled to the brim with owners. You are the kind of people that when I see a problem, you've already seen it. And when you come to me and point it out to me, very rarely do I get asked, what are you going to do about it? And instead I get asked, what are we going to do about it? I know that seems small, but man, does it make me proud to be your pastor. That when I see a problem in our neighborhood or at our church or any of our campuses, that instead of being asked, hey, why hasn't the staff handled that yet? Instead finding out, how can I help, being asked, how can I help? What a beauty. Our school that we sponsor through our chapel campus, Highland City Elementary, well, there's a lot of kindergartners and not enough kindergarten teachers. And there was a worry, there was a concern that the kindergarten teachers wouldn't be able to celebrate the holiday season with their kids. And so at a meeting of church leadership, someone brought that up. And before the meeting was over, someone had purchased stockings for all 50 kindergarten students and filled those stockings and then put them in the box of the kindergarten teachers. So the kindergarten teachers got to hand the stockings to the kids. Y'all, that's ownership. Membership says, I wonder what kids ministry will do. Ownership is, I wonder if I can get to Five Below before they close. That's what ownership is. The ownership is when we knew that we needed to move our youth ministry out of the Siberia outbuilding and move them to another space. And then when we found the air conditioning wasn't working, the leadership of the church said, we don't know how we're going to be able to pay this. Well, it would be skinny for a couple of months, but we know that we need to fix the air conditioning in the back of our building so that our youth can be there. Ownership is that next Tuesday, us receiving a check for the exact amount of the air conditioning. And here's what's even better. The person that sent that check didn't know that we just paid for a new air conditioner and sent a check for the exact amount that we needed. Friends, that's ownership. It's ownership to see the needs of our neighborhood and not wondering when will someone fix it, but knowing it is ours to do the work. Friends, let us steward this generosity. This is a church of owners. Owners give because they know what is required of them. You know, we're talking about generosity. Maybe you've never given to the life of the church before. Maybe this would be a new thing for you. If 2026 is your first generous year, make it a year that you make out of ownership. Not spare change, but rather ownership. Spare change. Jesus is focused on the how. Giving spare change is about what is left over. Giving spare change is about what's giving left over. When you go to a store and they ask you to round up to the nearest dollar to give, what a wonderful bit of generosity. But friends, that's not ownership. I don't consider myself one of the main givers to St. Jude's Children's Hospital just because I round up when I order at Chili's. I had Chili's yesterday. It was a great day. That's not my ownership. Instead, I feel ownership here at Shepherd's because when, and just like many of you, when our family receives our income, it is the first thing that we give because it is ownership, not membership. It is not what's left over. It is what is first. That's how this widow gave. Christ saw how the widow gave and knew how small the amount was, but knew how precious it was to her. She took two coins, and when you put those two coins together, it became a penny. Because when you took them apart, they were half pennies. I mean, how destitute was this woman that she needed to split a penny at some point, right? And yet she gave of it because she knew what priorities were for her and for her neighborhood. Giving spare change is about what is left over. The widow had Christ-shaped priorities. Whenever I talk about generosity with people, it always comes down to the number for individuals. People feel unsure about what they can give. They feel either too small or uncertain about what they need to give, what God is calling them to. Friends, we know that the biblical standard that we're reaching towards, some of us and some of us we've been able to get to, is 10% of our income. But we get so focused on the number, we miss out on the why and the how of the giving. The widow very well could have taken those two pennies and thought, well, this just isn't anything. This isn't enough. What difference will this make? But the widow knew what her priorities needed to be. Her priorities needed to be that this worshiping community is not something that she was a member of, There are no organizations that have membership fees so small that a penny will cover it. And if an organization ran off of membership fees and the membership fee was a penny, they would not have a staff, they would not have electrical bills paid, they would not have a mortgage. But instead, the ownership that woman showed was multiplied by every other person that knew what her priorities, what their priorities needed to be. Friends, let us steward this generosity that has been given to us. If this church could continue to lean into the spirit of generosity that I already see. You know, last year, our giving increased 27%, and our budget has increased another 5% in order for us to match that generosity and serve our community in a real and powerful way. That means that if everyone that is a consistent giver gave $4 more a week, we would meet that need. But just like I said last week, we are not about meeting. We are not about spare change. Instead, we are about Christ-shaped priorities. We are owners, not members. And so today we have some action. And that is, after communion, leave your pledge card. So why do we pledge? You know, pledge cards, they're not a thing that people are really comfortable with. When you write out a pledge card, you're basically saying, this is what I'm planning on giving, and I've given up on predicting the future, and so I don't know what my pledge really can be. I have seen how God's faithfulness shows up when someone loses a job or is unable to fulfill their pledge, how others are able to match that. But when we give a pledge, two things happen. Number one, our hearts are changed. It goes from, I want to be generous, to I want to give this amount of money, therefore, or thereby fulfilling the call of generosity, the stewardship of generosity God has placed in my life. And then the second thing that happens is that the leaders of this church, who are not me, but the leaders of this church are able to see the numbers and not the names and know exactly how we can love our community. Because without the generosity of God's people, the plans of a church are just happy thoughts. Instead, through our generosity, they become gifts under the Christmas tree, turkeys in the oven, and stockings given by kindergarten teachers. They become real things through the generosity of this church. So when you give a pledge card, maybe this is your first year giving a pledge card, when you give a pledge card, we are able to know, our leaders are able to know and to lead in a real and powerful way. And then the second action point that I want you to have is I want you to commit owning the generosity this year ahead. May we not be members, may we be stewards, may we be owners of the generosity that God has given to us. Christ has told us how to give not in such a way that we're giving so much out of spare change, but rather giving in a way that shows ownership, dedication to what Christ has called us to. Friends, let us steward the generosity. In a little bit, we're going to celebrate communion. We celebrate communion every Sunday. You're going to have an opportunity to come up. I want to encourage you. You know, I'm not really one for like ritual and symbolism too much, but friends, don't put your pledge card in the offering plate before you get communion. This is not a thing where you need to give to receive. After you receive communion, then go ahead and put your pledge card in. It's a small thing, but I just want you to know that there's nothing that you could give to ever earn the grace of the communion table, so please don't put your pledge card in before then. But after you receive communion, go ahead and place your pledge card in these offering plates so that the leadership of this church can know of what God has called us to and how we can fulfill that call. So friends, let us steward the generosity all together. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week and be blessed. Thank you.